Tom was a professional investor who had done well in his stock picking over the past few years. Flush with confidence, he went to a wealthy friend, Joseph, and asked for an enormous loan so he could buy large stakes in various hot stocks. He promised Joseph a great return and, based on past performance, that seemed very possible. However, he hid from Joseph a number of facts about the companies in which he was investing. When one of the companies went into crisis and the market moved against Tom's stocks, Joseph lost millions of dollars. When Joseph saw what had happened, he wrote, "How could you have done this to me, Tom? I trusted your word, and you hid from me the level of risk to which you had me exposed. You have wronged me. I demand that you pay me back, and I am going to court to see that this happens." Tom went to see Joseph. He walked into Joseph's office, sat down, and burst into tears. "If you sue me for this amount, I will literally have nothing left. Please, forgive me." And Joseph did forgive him. It was an astonishing act of mercy. Joseph had lost a fortune because of Tom's wrongdoing, but he forgave it. Tom's friends were shocked when he told them of Joseph's magnanimity and generosity, but they were just as amazed when they saw the next thing Tom did. One man in their circle of friends, Harry, had just been through a bruising divorce. His wife had gotten the house and custody of the children, and Harry was living in a small rented room on very little income. "Hey," Tom said to Harry within days of his meeting with Joseph, "I lent you $5,000 last year, and I need it back now." "You couldn't have asked me at a worse time," said Harry. "That's nearly all I have in savings. If I gave that to you, I'd be out in the street. Please, give me more time, or, if you'd be willing, just forgive the debt altogether. That's what I most need now." "What do you take me for?" laughed Tom. "If you don't give it to me, I'll find ways to make your life pretty uncomfortable. Pay me now or else." One of Tom's appalled friends contacted Joseph and told him the whole story. Joseph called Tom and said, "Shouldn't you have forgiven your friend his debt as I forgave you yours? Tomorrow, I'll resubmit my lawsuit against you for losing my money. We'll let the courts deal with you." The Parable of the Unforgiving Servant. Listeners may have already recognized that this is a retelling of a parable told by Jesus Christ himself. This passage, which was narrated at the beginning of this audiobook, is perhaps the most sustained treatment of the subject of forgiveness in the New Testament. But it doesn't come in the form of a treatise or an essay. Instead, it is a gripping story, and a tragic one. This realistic account of life in this world shows how an act of forgiveness, even with all its healing, life-transforming potential, can still be abused in a way that brings ruin to all those around. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to 7 times? Jesus answered, "I tell you, not 7 times, but 77 times. Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 and 22. The Lord had given the issue of forgiveness great prominence in his teaching. Indeed, the only writer added to the Lord's Prayer itself is Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15, in which he says emphatically that if we deny forgiveness to others, God will deny forgiveness to us. The disciples were stunned by Jesus' claim that forgiveness by God and forgiveness of others were interdependent. Peter's question shows his concern that Jesus' command could be used by an unscrupulous perpetrator to sin against others without accountability. So Peter suggests a limit. "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to 7 times? Peter's proposal would have seemed generous to him, for even the Talmud held that we have to forgive the same person only 3 times. Jesus refuses to grant that there is a limit to forgiveness. His startling declaration is that we must forgive not 7 times, but 77 times. The term he uses is sometimes translated as meaning 70 times 7, or 490. But to focus on the precise number is to miss Jesus' meaning entirely. The number 7 signified completeness. And that means this statement by Jesus is in the language of hyperbole, not of calculation. Those who are concerned as to whether the figure should be 77 or 490 have missed the point. There is no limit, no place for keeping a tally of forgivenesses already used up. Peter's question was misconceived. If one is still counting, one is not forgiving.